talking today with Congressman Mike Bost. And Congressman, how you doing?
I'm good, Jeff. Just like everybody else, trying to deal with the snow. They've got us in district this week, but I'm end up doing a whole lot more things virtual, like everybody else right now. I was in D.C. last week. We had some markup and the actual turnup of the VA committee. So we were busy there. Unfortunately, the Senate was busy doing an unbelievable act, which is impeaching a person who had already left office. And as you can see, that the Supreme Court justice himself would not sit on the bench, which is part of the Constitution that says if they're going to actually have a real impeachment. And when he was asked why he wouldn't do that, he said because it's not constitutional what they're doing. And it ended up being exactly what we said. It was an acquittal. It was a waste of time at a time when we need to be working on policies to try to get the economy moving again. Job reports came out today, once again, down. Well, why? Well, because you're doing things like we have a president that in his first few days has done more executive actions than any other president that's ever existed. And we've actually, in one of those particular executive actions, cost thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people their job from the spinoff jobs, and that was the shutting down of the XL pipeline. If we're going to stay competitive in the worldwide market as far as fuel is concerned, and we want to be safe with transporting it, the safest way to transport it is through pipeline. He states environmental concerns, but the reality is that it's worse on the environment not to get it in place. It's also worse on the American jobs not to have it in place. It is dangerous, to say the least, not only to the economy, but to people, because it puts more trucks on the road and then ends up costing us in the long run not only jobs, but the cost of fuel when we're trying to compete in a worldwide market. But at any rate, that's where we're kind of headed right now. And I don't know what all subjects you might want to talk about, but we can expand on those, or we can talk about other things that are going on.
Well, the XL pipeline was one of them because, it not in itself, but it contributed to this latest rise in the price at the pump.
Sure, sure. Because, and here's the thing. We have more ready available fuel if we have that XL pipeline. And not only that, we're not dependent on foreign governments, Russia and China. Folks, that was one thing over the last 4 years that we saw. You can like Donald Trump, you can hate Donald Trump, but the reality is he swung that door open. That's why your price at the pump was cheaper. That's why people were working. That's why everything showed that unemployment was at an all-time low in every factor. And, this is about keeping America working. And, I don't get it whenever, the policies of this administration, like I said, this is not about personalities. This is about policies. And the policies of this administration, first off, Congress has not met or moved any bills per se that allowed this to happen. It is strictly being done through executive order. So, we've got to... This is just not good.
Right, right. I know they're pushing, alternative fuels and electricity, electric run cars and that. I said, oh, that's all well and good, but you have to have the infrastructure in place before you can just dump the current mode.
And you have to have the technology as well.
Mm-hmm.
Texas is proving that right now. When this snowstorm hit across the South, they have shifted so much to solar that now when the temperature gets cold and it gets snowpacked and ice packed, solar does not work. Now all of a sudden you have rolling brownouts or complete blackouts. Now you have people sitting in their homes freezing. Why? Because they weren't wise in investing in their grid. And you can badmouth fossil fuels all you want, but you better be able to try to keep something in reserve because the wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine, and those products don't always work. And I saw somebody the other day that said, isn't this neat? And they showed a picture of it. A helicopter burning fossil fuels using a petroleum product to spray down the turbines so that they can produce wind energy. That's what they were having to do. I mean, this is the type of stuff, and it is infrastructure, Jeff. You know, it's, hey, I'm all for it. I'm all in with it, you know? But you have to put it into battery reserves. You can't put battery reserves. If for your home, you can say, and you know, I have solar panels on my home, and you can actually take and put a generator, or a generator, you can put a battery system in your house that you can store that energy. And if you lose power for a day or so, you'll be able to tap into the energy that you charged as well. And it saves on the energy that you're purchasing from the electric companies. I'm all for that. That being said, you cannot depend totally on it because, one, it's not reliable 24/7, 365 days a year, whether it's wind or whether it's solar. So I'm all for it. Let's do it the best we can. But the reality is we can't give up on our fossil fuels as of yet.
Exactly.
But I don't know. It's so frustrating that, you know, the people that are pushing it to this level, I wish that we could force Al Gore and AOC to go ahead and live in one of those houses in Texas till this is all over by themselves and see how that would work. So, and maybe they'd wake up to the reality of, like I said, I'll work with them to try to develop the technology, but you can't just all of a sudden pull the rug out from everybody and say, oh, magically we're here.
Right, exactly. So. Another thing you mentioned was veterans, and you recently introduced a bill that would help unemployed veterans get back to work.
Yeah. Let me tell you that right now, with COVID and everything like that, you've seen a lot of this. So we introduced not only the bill that would train our veterans. If they have lost their job, there would be money available for them to train them in the technical skills. To get them back to work and in decent paying jobs and making sure that they're ready and available for the workforce. When, if you remember, we tied that with last year with the farm mentor program for veterans. So if you've got a person that has a farm and they don't have their children that are wanting to take over in the farm and everything like this, there is a program out there that will be available that allows for the opportunity for them to reach out to a veteran. That veteran could come and become a farmhand and a program that they would be trained on how to operate the farm and so that they themselves can go into the agribusiness and make the investment there so that and the advantage for that is one, it keeps the family farm intact, even though it may not be with your family if that's the case, but it be with a veteran. And the advantage for the veteran is they find that working out on the farm and those type of jobs are very, very good for post-traumatic stress syndrome and a tremendous help to the veterans as well. So, yeah, we're doing a lot of things with veterans. The other day we had a markup. I was telling you about that. Unfortunately, I don't know if people have heard or not, but the president is pushing the fifth COVID bill. Hey, we might need it, we might not, but let me tell you the way this was done. Remember this, all the other COVID bills were bipartisan in nature. We went and calculated what we really needed. We put the money in, we put a little bit of more money to make sure there was a safety net out there. Now this president came up with this idea and he's pushing forward this bill, but no input from Republicans, nor could input be put given for Republicans. And why do I bring that up about veterans? Because last week, what was proposed through this bill had to go through the Veterans Committee. First off, the Veterans Committee was formed, and then 5 minutes later, we were asked to start voting on this markup, which was the president's bill, President Biden's bill for COVID, which here's the problem that exists. One, we offered 13 amendments, and none of them were accepted. They were very good amendments for veterans. Because we've been studying the issues and the concerns out there that COVID has. And we presented those 13 amendments. They went down, just not exactly on partisan lines, but Republicans all voted for them. There were a couple Democrats that came over, but we never had enough to offset the Democrat majority in the committee. But here's a real concern. There was, we also were putting in there in the in one of the amendments was oversight to make sure that the money that was being spent, which is, just so you know, $17 billion more dollars added to the VA. Now, let me explain to you what the problem with that and concerns we have with that. One, we were all through November, October, November, then December, and even as first, as much as the first week of January, we were keeping an open line of communications and had hearings with the VA, and the VA said, you know, where are you at? We said, where are you at? Now, I understand we gave record amount, $247 billion, to operate the Veterans Administration, the VA as a whole, okay, so during the last year of budget that we passed. Not only that, then we gave another $19 billion for COVID relief once COVID kicked in those first three bills, four bills. Now, when we were checking with them over those last months and even, in, like I said, into January, first of January, they said, we have only spent, of the $19 billion, we still have $10.1 billion left. We're going to be able to make it through the COVID crisis, no problem. We're going to be able to distribute vaccine. We're going to be able to do everything we need to do. We don't need more money. We don't need more money. I'll say that again. They said, we don't need more money. Then the Biden administration came in and in this new COVID package gave them $17 billion more dollars. So we then sent a letter asking, I and the chair or the ranking member or chairman in the Senate, we did a joint letter together asking specifically for the VA to explain how this money is going to be used. Well, they gave line items and gave kind of suggestions and everything like that, but there's no oversight on this. We asked them, but you said you have 10 point, well, what are you going to do with this? Well, they basically, by the time it was said and done, said, well, we're going to roll it over. I guess we'll just end up using it in 2022 and 2023. Well, that's not how we budget in Congress. You know, if you don't need it, why would we do that? So this was the arguments that were going on. It was pushed through on a partisan process and then pushed through to the House floor. And then all of the other committees, the same thing, that had to handle these, it was the same situation. They would accept no amendments from the Republicans, wanted no input from the Republicans, and they pushed forward with this bill that is very, very costly to we, this United States. Hey, if it is going to go to help COVID, then we want to do that, but we want oversight and saying, yeah, where's it going? Like we had with the first four bills, because that makes sense. It makes sense to the taxpayers. I want to help everyone out there that we can, but you've got to make sure that it's going to where, to, you know, the big fear is in this, it's going to be a bailout for states that have made bad decisions. And I've got a fiduciary responsibility, and to do that, I've got to make sure that I argue for the taxpayers in this situation, so that's what's going on with the Veterans Committee.
All right, I'll tell you what, we got a break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in, and we'll come back and talk some more with Congressman Mike Boster on The People Speak this morning. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Again, today we're talking with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak, and just kind of looking around, you announced earlier this month the committee assignments you've got, and of course one of those is lead Republican on the Veterans Affairs Committee.
That's correct. Because I was put on the lead of the VA, that means, and I was carrying three committees. You and I have talked about that before, and I've talked with your listeners about that. They don't normally like for you to have three, but I've always had, of the 6 years I've been in, I've always had three, and that was Veterans Affairs, Ag, and Transportation Infrastructure. Mm-hmm. By the time it was said and done, I ended up losing Ag, but that's because that another Illinoisan got placed on Ag, and that was Mary Miller. Mary is the congresswoman who took John Chimkus's place. She herself comes from a farm family, and they have a farm and several children, and have had that farm for years. So unfortunately, I was taken off of Ag Committee, but I will still be working with my Farm Bureau and all of them to make sure we work on that. But it is an honor to be the lead person for the VA Committee with my background. It is really wild to understand that when you have you're referred to as the four tops of the committee. So that would be the Republican and Democrat that's in the House, that is either chairman or ranking member, and the Republican and Democrat that's in the Senate that is either chairman and or ranking member. And so what is really wild, and a lot of people don't realize this, but I am the only veteran that is in one of those positions. So it's kind of my job to make sure to come at it from a veteran's point of view. And the concerns that we might have. We've got a lot of things we'll be working on in that. Of course, we've also got the surface bill and transportation infrastructure that I'm part of. We're going to have to be moving on that this year. My hope is that that through this administration, they follow through with what the Trump administration was wanting to do but couldn't get the Democrats to come on board, and that would be a very, very large infrastructure bill. That would be a very good time to do that if we move forward with infrastructure. We need to make that investment. I said that during the Trump administration. I'll say it during this administration as well. I don't want to block anybody from getting certain victories, and this is a victory not for Republicans or Democrats. It's a victory for the United States because we need to make the investment in the infrastructure, whether it is our roads and bridges, it's our rail, it's our highways, or it's our waterways, especially with the things of lock dams and levees, and making sure the maintenance is done on those and they're brought up to the to this century the way they need to be. So these are the things we're going to be working on, and it should be very, very good. Jeff, I don't know if you want to talk. I think something that we should talk about, and it's going to take a little while, but where we're going, let's talk about what actually happened on January 6th. You know, Pelosi is asking for a group of investigative committee like we had on Benghazi and those type things. And you know what? I'm all for that because I'm going to tell you we need to find out what went wrong, why it went wrong. And let me tell you also that Rodney Davis, who is he and his committee all signed on to a letter specifically wanting that oversight and that investigation into what went wrong, and for the speaker to come forward to give a response, because we are having certain people are saying that with communications that broke down, she was warned about this in advance, and we need to know this. That was brought up in the letter, and then did not react. Her job is to make sure that both Republicans and Democrats, while they're there, are in a safe situation. We need to find out what Capitol Police knew in advance and why they did not push to increase their numbers. Let me tell you that I praise the Capitol Police. I think they did a great job, but somebody in leadership fell down bad. Let me tell you this on a more personal note. I don't know if people know it or not, but we've got a young lady that is actually Capitol Police out there now, and I met with her last week, brought her into the office to say thank you. She was on the front line. She was from Redbud, and she's from Redbud. Obviously, she lives out there now. But she and I had a long conversation. There are certain things that she couldn't tell me because they're under investigation. But one thing she did say was so I was explaining to her that I was sitting on, I had went down to the front porch of the building I work in, which is across the street from the Capitol, and I heard a call go out on the police radio that was the guy standing beside me, where they said they're overrunning us. And then I told her, then I heard a riot grenade go off. And she looked at me and she said, that wasn't ours. Mm. And I said, what? She said, that wasn't ours. They brought stuff. I said, what? And she said, there were elderly people that were just there to protest. And she said, they were being pushed forward. And then about four rows back, where we're trying to see what's going on, all of a sudden some people started kneeling down, not older people, younger people, started kneeling down, reaching into backpacks. And they produced weapons, not guns, but produced weapons, like these grenades. They also had spray that was, I don't know whether she described it more like a tear gas, but it was bad spray that they were spraying the police officers with, and it was like an oil substance that sucked to their uniform. They couldn't get it off. And they basically came under attack at a level that, you know, they didn't expect. And they started fighting. And as she said, there were plenty of times that lethal force should have been used, but because they were so surrounded by people that would have been in the way of any shot, that would have been hurt, that could have been, you know, and so they showed great restraint not using a lot of lethal force in certain situations. She said she actually spun around one time and you had these elderly people like almost getting trampled by this group, but then she spun around another side and there was a couple kneeling down, older couple kneeling down, holding a Bible and praying. And
it's kind of like what you hear about. But it's kind of like what you hear about in places like using a human shield, basically.
Right, right. And so to hear all this is why it is so important. I don't want to crucify someone over this, but we need to find out where was the ball dropped and never let it happen again. Now, the sad reality is that we are having intelligence, and there's a reason why we've got, unfortunately, our Capitol looking like a prison right now. My hope is this all calms down. You can't calm it down by carrying on a ridiculous impeachment that's not necessary. You can't calm it down whenever you're standing on the floor continuing to badmouth people in a way that if you say the president incited something, but yet you're saying things that are just as bad, or you have, understand freedom of speech is vitally important, but our words do have consequences. And if we're going to calm this nation down, have our nation open back up. Now, the sad reality is what we showed to our enemies. And that's a very big concern of mine because they're watching us. China and Russia are watching. And to know that happened on our Capitol grounds is awful, but the investigation must be done. This was premeditated by what I just described and what she described to me. There's a lot of that that'll be investigated to a level, and you're not going to be able to all of a sudden just blame, oh, it was just this group, okay? There was something really, really deep that went on there. They were too prepared to try to do what they did. And but it's not something that we want to let go by the wayside. We want to find out where the breakdown occurred. And if the courts are, the judicial system is already doing an investigation into a lot of this. Now, there are some other things that have happened that I do not believe that are well within the Constitution to do. And that is, you know, for instance, with what happened to one of the major credit card companies whenever a judge ruled that they could go in and check in detail and cross-reference certain things, not by individual, but just by certain purchases. And unless they had that's a pretty big violation of a person's, of our rights as American citizens. And that's where we have to be very careful, Jeff, too. And I want your listeners to know that. We want to have a full investigation that is a constitutional investigation. Remember, we've got to hold to our Constitution. That is vitally, vitally, vitally important. So,
Exactly. Well, it does look like we're out of time. I wish we had more time, you know, to talk more about this. But
let's talk more.
I appreciate us being here and look forward to next month.
All right. We will look forward to it as well. We'll talk to you again in March already.
All right. Great, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay warm.
For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again next time. Have a great day.